Father, we're grateful for the word and we're thankful for the truth and we're thankful, God, that you have made yourself known. Lord, I'm grateful for the people that are here this morning. And I'm thankful, Lord, for those who have chosen to follow Christ. This world is, we're in rough seas as a world. We are in difficult times. So much of the eschatology subjects that we talk about in Scripture seem to be unfolding. Things are escalating so quickly. And people need to turn and trust in God the Son, Christ the Savior, who is the only means of salvation. And I pray that everybody here has trusted Christ as their Savior, that they are growing in their faith, and that they have a firm foundation. And Lord, I pray as the longer we live, give us the boldness that we need to speak up. Guide us. Lord, we want to be as effective as we can be as Pioneer Bible Church, as Christian individuals. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we had Willie June and I had the privilege to have our four grandchildren with us at our house. And it was really, I loved, most of the time, I loved raising our four kids through the years. And the blessing was that God gave us our four kids one at a time. But 2 weeks ago, we went from 0 to 40 in like a flight. And we had 2 1.5-year-olds, a 4-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And so during the week, we cooked different meals. And you know, I'm grandpa, and I'm thinking, it's a beautiful meal. And we put it in front of our grandkids, and they'd say, I don't really like that. That's sometimes how you treat God. You say, I really don't like that, or I really don't want to participate in that. You need to have a strong foundation. And this love for Christ needs to be stirring in your heart. Nobody can do it for you. We sing these songs. We sang this morning, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you? This is the foundation of your faith. This is who you worship, Christ the Savior, God, the Creator, the Provider, the Savior, the one who has prepared a place for you. This has to be your passion. Nobody can have this passion for you. Don't come to the table when God is being offered and waste your time and say, well, I don't like that. I'll tell you, it is the saddest thing for us who are, you know, you can be in the presence of Christ all week long, and you are. But when we gather as a church family, I hope this is a place where you're feasting at the table and you're saying, God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this worship. God, thank you for these reminders of the things that are being offered to you. If a person was walking toward a cliff, let's make it even worse. Let's say a blind person was walking toward a cliff and you were close enough to help. What would you do? Hopefully so. Hopefully we'd reach out. This is going to sound kind of harsh, but who's the last person you invited to church? I don't want you to tell me. I don't want you to tell me. Who's the last person you took time to reach out and say, or maybe you just reached out to share Christ with them? You need to be stepping up. I need to be stepping up. The only reason that I would love for this church to be full is because I would love for people to be following Christ and to be strengthened in their walk for Christ. And if you're missing people here today, you are missing them. You could be saying to them, hey, we missed you. Come to church. Be part of us. Worship with us. Sometimes it's been weeks or months before our people have opened their mouth and said, you know, guys, we are the ones with the saving words to the people who are blind and walking to the cliff. And the days are getting closer and closer. And you have the truth. You have the saving rope in your hands. You could be reaching out. We need to be doing that. Please, for Christ's sake. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And there's a pastor I listen to, and his first words are, what are we so ashamed of? Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So that's my haranguing for today. Please take it seriously. Please think about who your neighbors are. You know, our dear, dear Peggy Remenek, who loved Christ, none of us knew that she wasn't going to be here this Sunday, not alive this Sunday. You don't know what the timeline is for your family and friends. God is pleading with us that we would plead with others. Plead with others. Invite them. Love them. Care enough if you see a blind, a spiritually person who doesn't know Christ, they're blind. And they're heading to a cliff. They need somebody to say, stop! Stop going that direction. And you know what? The world and our society and our culture, it's just kind of like, well, you know, live and let live. You know, if they want to be an unbeliever, they can be an unbeliever. That's not our attitude. Our attitude is they're lost and they need help. They need someone to reach out to them. Okay, so I'm going to pray again. Father, thank you. And may I be as concerned about these things that I just challenged the rest of the body with, that we all would be reaching out to the people around us. Lord, we can't make anybody respond to Christ, but we can invite and we can speak up and they can laugh at us, and that's okay. So please guide me as we speak about these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure if I told you this story, but I know I told our men's Bible study, but this week I had to go to DMV. Did I tell you all this story? I had to go to DMV. Did I tell you this story? I told everybody? Okay, good. Ashley, thank you. I'll briefly say it. I was at DMV, and I was walking in, and there were two lovely Jehovah's Witness people sitting outside. And I was compelled. I didn't know what to say to them. I was going in to do some DMV business. I didn't know what to say to them. You know, they're called witnesses. They're called witnesses. So I finished my thing and I went to my truck and I sat in my truck and I said, Lord, what do you want me to say to them? And I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to go talk to them. But I got out of my truck and I walked over and I said, you know, thank you for being here. I'm thinking, thank you, because that gives me a chance to talk to you. And I said this simple thing. I just said, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and I know that you're concerned about me or you wouldn't be here. And I'm here because I'm concerned about you. And I said, I was kind, but I just said, I believe that you're wrong. I believe that the Trinity is correct, that God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way for a person to be saved, God the Son. And I just want to be a witness to you. And they said thank you, and I turned around and walked away. We just need to speak up something. And maybe you're like me that day and you say, I don't know what to say. No. They didn't rebuke me. And they were faithful Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'm going to change my tone. I'm working through Colossians. We're in chapter 3. We're going to look at primarily verse 17. And the topic is peace. And I want to tell you that all the things that I've just talked about, all these, our world state, people who are dying this week, some troubled things that came up this week for me. Peace. God's peace is available to you. Because your life is not going to get less tumultuous than it is. The world is not going to get less tumultuous than it is. And you need to be resting and believing and counting on God, who gives you peace in the midst of this storm that we live in. One of the things in Colossians chapter 3 is it talks about singing as a means to rehearse truth, to encourage you so that you'll have peace. Singing. It also talks about some other things, the Word of God and some other things. So here's an old song, and here's the words. If you go ahead on this one slide, please, guys. The song goes, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. So we sing these words. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. The thing is, I can't make you have peace. The peace you're going to have is the peace that you receive because you believe in God, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're obeying Him, you're serving Him, you're following Christ. He will give you the peace, no matter how tumultuous the world and circumstances are around you. Let me open my Bible to Colossians. Chapter 3. Always encourage you to have your paper Bible if you can. Maybe you use your phone as a Bible. I just have trouble writing in my phone. So I really like to have my Bible. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I'm going to read through verse 17. Let the word of Christ, okay, so I just want to point out the word of Christ, God's word. The word of Christ, the gospel, God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. So there's this singing. We can sing all variety of things in our life. You got old tunes in your mind, you got old stuff in your mind, and then there are Christian songs, Christian words, songs that you have come to know and love. And Paul's admonition is, sing the truth of God as a means to maintain peace in your soul. Have you found songs have been helpful to you through the years? They are. They are. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And there is a lot in verse 17 that I won't get to at all, but just look at those words again. And whatever you do in word or deed. Now, Paul has just spoken about being in the Word. He's spoken about the peace that comes from God. He's talked about singing the truth of God's Word so that it stirs up the truth that is in there. And then he says, and whatever you do. And often that's taken in a little different context, where I think my wife has to have her knee straight. Yeah, so that's why she's sitting on the floor. So you know, and you wonder why. She just had knee surgery, so she's taking care of herself. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, remembering the Lord Jesus, in the name of, remembering, focusing on, keeping that in mind, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this is a message about peace. This is where we're going. And let's go to the next slide. And Sherry, someday I'll figure out the clicker. I know you helped me, but I just wanted to say that because she's trying to help me. Peace is determined by your relationship to God, first of all, okay? So peace is determined by your relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship with God, you have never experienced God's peace and you don't know God's peace. A relationship with God, you guys could mostly, all of you, answer this question. A relationship with God comes by believing God is, he exists. And by the way, his evidence is everywhere. So you have evidence. Romans 1 says you're without excuse. You believe that God is, and you then trust him. You go from trusting yourself to trusting God. And there's tons of teaching and evidence to help you with that. You believe, you trust, and then you walk with him. You walk with God. So peace is determined by your relationship to God. If you don't have a trusting relationship with God, life can be very hard. No peace. You're just depending upon yourself to have some sort of help in your life. And secondly, peace is maintained by what you dwell on, what you fill your mind with. So let's just jump to the next slide, guys. Think about it. What fills the majority of your thoughts? And I really would love for you guys to just take a little mental inventory with all of this. What fills the majority of your thoughts? What do you dwell on? I'm talking about every day, every night, as you drive, as you're at work, what do you choose to dwell on? Because your mind is busy all the time, right? You're busy, 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 and you're thinking and you're calculating, and God understands that. He knows you have to figure out life and you have to do life and you have to take care of your family and your career and all those things. What fills the majority of your thoughts? What do you dwell on? And simple statements. Daily we seek things. What do you seek? We all set our mind on things. We all fill our mind with things. We all set goals and plans in our future. And we rehearse songs, sayings and songs and memories and ideas. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 26 says this. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So you just fill in those words with your name. You know, God, you keep the person in perfect peace, the person whose mind is nailed to you, stayed in you, focused on you. So if you don't have peace, and there are many times where I don't have peace, it's because my mind is not focused on him. I need to have my mind focused on Christ. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. See, that reflects that you trust in him. You trust in him through all the stuff that you're going through. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And that's just a statement from Isaiah that says God is trustworthy to trust in. Trust in the Lord forever. So, Jim Eggert, trust in the Lord because the Lord is an everlasting rock, a foundation that you can count on. Honestly, as we are here, I want all of you to have peace. The peace from God that he wants you to have. And this week, like I said, Billy Joe Langford was my friend as a kid. It kind of rocked my boat to hear about his death. And then I heard about Peggy. Peggy's mom lived to over 100. And for Peggy to die so young, it also rocked my boat. She sat right here with us for years and years and years. But what do we know? I know that Bill Langford is in the presence of his Savior, and I know that Peggy Remenek is in the presence of her Savior. We have to keep our minds stayed on him so that we maintain peace, even in loss, grief, difficulty, turmoil. So maintaining God's peace in a secular, immoral, violent world, and that's just where we live right now. We live in a world filled with those things. So the Bible talks about transforming our mind, what we dwell upon. These are old and familiar verses to many people. Do you want peace? Then fill your mind with the truth and promises of God. Romans 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, and that's Paul appealing to us. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God. And then this word present. Present yourself to God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God. This is your spiritual act of worship. When you present your body, your mind, your soul to God, that is an act of worship. That is an act saying to God the Father, God, I value you. I value your lordship. I value that you're my Savior. Present and see, and the idea is keep on presenting. You don't just present your body to the Lord on Sunday morning when you come to church. You present your body ongoing. I present my mind. Lord, I'm presenting myself to you. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. And I'll tell you, that's where lots of people lose peace, right? If you conform yourself to the world, and there are 1,000 ways to conform yourself to the world. The challenge is, do not, child of God, person who's saved, person who trusts in Jesus, do not be conformed to this world. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, his good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4 it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's an ongoing growth process. And then he says that you abstain from sexual immorality. And through the years, I've tried to understand the correlation between godliness and sexual immorality. But it is amazing how much any kind of sexual immorality deters men and women from holiness and godliness. It is seen over and over and over as a theme in Scripture. In this passage of 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God. We often want to know, what's God's will for my life? His will is that you be being sanctified. You are growing in your relationship with Christ. So he says, be growing in your relationship with Christ and abstain from sexual immorality. Now, let me just make this really simple. Sexual expression God gave for one purpose. Always. God gave sexual expression to be used in marriage. That's it. It is the intimate relationship for a husband and wife that God made and designed and declared to his glory and honor. So any perversion of sexual immorality fits this category that Paul is talking about sexually immoral things. Homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, any of those things fit the category of sexual immorality. So he says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you would know, you would be able to discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We know that our world is saturated by sexual immorality. And it is a battle for human beings because we are made in the image of God. We're made male and female. I guess the question is, to whom do you belong? Are you the God of your life and you're deciding what your body and mind and soul are going to be involved in? Or is God your Lord? And he's the one that's leading you in where you're headed. So also transform your mind. You guys know these scriptures in Philippians chapter 4. It says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. By that way, that's the opposite of peace, right? Anxious, fretting, stress, all those kind of things. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it is, the same peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So then verse 8, he's very specific. Finally, brothers, and see, that's, we are brothers. I loved being with the guys at Clay's house yesterday, and I love being with the guys at our Bible study, and I love being in church with, it says, finally, brothers, family, this is what I want you to fill your mind with. Fill your mind with whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Man, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, let me just say, if you're not in Christ, you can't keep your mind on these things. If you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and he will help you keep your mind on these things. Followers of Christ, do this. Followers of Christ are committed to this. Followers of Christ struggle with this. But it is our purpose and it is our goal, and we ask for strength and help to do this, to keep our mind on these things, right? So my question is, do you want peace? I do. So there may be things in your life that you need to eliminate so that you have peace. Do you want peace? Then fill your mind with truth and the promises of God. These words are in this passage, and I'll just kind of use these to kind of wind things up. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's a really interesting word. Did you ever play a game where the other person playing the game wouldn't keep the rules? It messes everything up, right? A rule is a guideline to keep you within the purpose of the game. In this place, it says, let the peace of God. So let this idea of the peace of God rule you. Let the idea of the peace of God rule in your hearts. And when it says hearts, it means it's your mind and your thoughts. That's what hearts is talking about in this case. If you go down to the bottom of this, it says, from the same as these words, to arbitrate or to govern you. Okay? So let the peace of God, make a choice to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, what I know is I can be filled with anxiety and worry and stress. Anybody else ever deal with that? Yeah. So we have to let the peace of God govern us. That's a decision you make. You know, two people can be facing the same crisis. One of them can have peace and the other one can be fretting to death. And the one that has peace is letting peace rule in their hearts. The second word I wanted to talk about is, it says, let the word of Christ, and we haven't really talked about the words of Christ yet, but it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. So think about the word of Christ. Let the word of God, let God's word, let the scripture dwell in you. And if you go down to the definition where it says Strong's Greek, it says to dwell in, to be settled or stationary in, to be indwelling, to inhabit. So the idea is, let the word of Christ inhabit you. And there are many scriptures that talk about, you know, Romans 10:17 says, faith, growing your faith in God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you. Whatever it takes for you to do that. Whatever it takes for me to do that. You know, I have found that the bigger the crisis in my life, the deeper I have to be in the Word of God or in my walk with God. If I hit a insurmountable or a difficult crisis and I'm not in the Word of God, or I'm not in fellowship, or I'm not letting the Holy Spirit convict me and deal with me, it's like I fall off the boat. I crash. Let the Word of God dwell in you. And you guys, it can't dwell in you if you don't dwell in it. You have to dwell in the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation is God's Word unfolded to the world. And then the last word, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, and the word is richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if you look at the end of this little thing, is to be saturated in, totally immersed, filled with, the idea of abundantly and so on. It's let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And all of these things have to do with, the result will be peace. The result will be contentment. The result will be rest for you. And I'll tell you, in this world, we need rest. The next slide, Galatians chapter 5. This whole list right here, this is opposite of the Word of God. But what Paul says is, instead of the works of the Spirit, you know what the works of the flesh are? This is what the world camps on. This is what the world highlights. In fact, right now, if you want to see what's happening, look at what the government is legislating. And this is a description. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's what the world offers. And they kind of try to put it in a nice little package, you know, so it doesn't look too evil. But it's evil, and it'll tear you up, and it'll ruin your life, and there will be no peace in your life. Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we'll just kind of end with this. Go to the next song, if you would, Mark, if you just click it forward right here, okay? So this is the next part of that old song, okay? And it says, it goes like this. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight, rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm or peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that what you want for us is peace. I thank you, Lord God, that you have shown us that peace begins with a relationship with Christ. And peace is maintained by what we dwell upon, the thoughts, the things that we fill our mind. And the scriptures have told us that the Word of God brings truth that leads to peace, and that singing is another element that we need to rehearse in our minds, the truth of God, to maintain peace. And Father, I pray that we would practice these things this week. Now, Lord, maybe there are some here who have never developed or come into a relationship with Christ. And I'm just offering to you, if you're listening, God is God, and He made you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. You need to confess that you are a sinner, and you need to ask Him if He will forgive you, and He will. So you believe in Him, and then you say, God, I trust you that you are the Savior and that you will forgive me. I place my trust in God, in Christ. Please save me, and He will save you. If you are that person, please come talk to me. Let's pray together. And then secondly, Lord, to all of those who are Christians here who have followed Christ, our peace is maintained as we dwell on your word richly. We dwell in the truth of the word of God in our relationship with Christ. So Father, please, we want to be people of peace. We need peace. Peace, like Philippians 4 says, is beyond all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray too that we would invite others to know this peace. We'd invite others to church, to Bible study, to BSF, to our life groups, to Sunday school, to church. Thank you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Say hello to the people around you. And you know, in some churches they say, go in peace.